Thank you very much. Thank you. Brother Tim. Presume you can hear me okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. I can't take any credit, brothers and sisters, for the translation. It was Sail Ecclesia. They pre-record it, and they kindly sent a copy of it over to me. Now, that's 22 minutes and 27 seconds long. So if I start speeding up, brothers and sisters, that means we're behind. If I slow down, that means we're in front. Anyway, what I'd like us to think about this morning, brothers and sisters, is about being part of an ecclesia. Now, when we are baptized, we each become a brother or sister of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are members of his family, the ecclesia. Now, find with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 20 through to 26. And it tells us there that every part of the body is needed and that we should all have the same care one for another. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. This is talking about the ecclesia, remember. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, or nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism of the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honoured, all the members rejoice with it. We are made up of one body out of lots of different parts. Our hands are very different to our ears, but both are needed for the body. And in the same way, our legs are very different to our eyes, but we need them both for the body to function properly. And it's the same with the spiritual body, the ecclesia. It's made up of so many different people. Some of them so different, brothers and sisters, that sometimes we wonder if they can really be part of the body. But what does the ear know about being a toe? They're both so different that there is no way that one could understand how the other works, what they do, how they feel. And the same goes for us in the body of Christ. Just because some people don't fit our mould, then it doesn't mean that they're not part of the body. The only part that can truly understand the function of all the other parts is the head. That position, brothers and sisters, is reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Think about these mutant animals that come along every once in a while. They're born with two heads, aren't they? And sometimes they pull themselves apart as they try to make conflicting decisions at the same time. We have one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must not try to supplant his position. Instead, we must be content with the position that we have been given and be the best that we can for our Lord. And the passage tells us that whatever our role within the ecclesia, whether that ecclesia is small or large, it's necessary that we meet and we share fellowship together, brothers and sisters. And if one suffers, we all suffer together. If one is honoured, we all rejoice together. Think about the parable that the apostle gives us here. Think about a person with toothache. A person with toothache doesn't just have a sore tongue. That person who is normally fit, active, intelligent and sociable now just wants to curl up in a corner to nurse their pain. They don't want to talk. They can't think. Going out anywhere doesn't appeal. And the pain is only from one bad tooth, but it affects the whole body. And in describing the ecclesia, as we have just read, the Apostle Paul used this, the illustration of the body. He said that we are the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We are all the different parts of the body. We are the eyes, the arms, the ears, the nose, the fingers, the toes. Each of us is an indispensable part of that body. Let's just read again verses 25 and 26. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it. And just as that toothache makes our whole physical body feel bad, winning a race gives our whole body the sense of rejoicing. So it should be with those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. One person cannot be left to suffer alone. Rejoicing should not be done in our private little corner. We need to show the concern for each other that the Apostle Paul spoke of. We need to share in the triumphs and sorrows of each other. We need to learn to love one another and, like a body, be connected, knitted together, as it uses in one verse, knitted together to one another. So let's show the concern, the compassion, the love that we should have towards our brothers and sisters as the body of Christ. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23 tells us that Christ is the head of the Ecclesia, and the Ecclesia is his body. The Ecclesia is a wonderful blessing to us all. We should want to share and be close to our ecclesial family, rather than distancing ourselves by not attending in person. When we gather as an ecclesia, it can be for many reasons. Just find Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Because the ecclesia can be for joyful reasons, or it can be for learning. Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, if we are serious about getting the word of God inside us, our Bibles would wear out prematurely, wouldn't they? Our Bible reading, our study would overflow in our conversation and way of life. How often, brothers and sisters, have we had a good scriptural discussion lately? Let's follow the apostles' advice and get the word inside us. But not just inside us richly. Let us let the word go into us and overflow. Let it overflow into our words, our actions, our songs, our attitudes, brothers and sisters. There are so many ways we could be rich, but let us choose to be rich in the word together as an ecclesia. Find 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. Now, in this chapter, the Apostle Paul is talking here about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And particularly in this chapter, he's talking about being able to speak different languages. So 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Edifying, that's building up. Why were these gifts of the Holy Spirit given? It was for preaching, it was for strengthening the ecclesia. Now the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not available today, but this verse still applies to us. We gather in our ecclesias to edify, to strengthen, to build up one another. Find 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. And here see that the ecclesia is for comforting each other in times of sadness. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. Look at that, brothers and sisters. The word comfort is with the word together. The way in which we meet and that we talk to each other is to be a comfort to us. If we do not spend time with each other talking about God's plan and his word, we cannot be comforted together. And the product of meeting together is to edify. This means to build up, doesn't it? To construct, just as a master builder does. The exhortation comes to us very loud and very clear. We must encourage. We must build up. We must build up the ecclesia. And what a wonderful example Paul provided. Not just the first century ecclesia, but to us today as sisters. There will be times when we cannot come to the ecclesial form. For example, when isolating due to COVID, perhaps through illness. And I apologise, I feel a little bit hypocritical not being there with you today, but being on Zoom. Sometimes it can be very convenient. And for me, with what I'm facing at the moment, I'm afraid I opted for convenience, and I apologise for that. But sometimes Zoom is very good, and Zoom is very handy. And for us, I can speak about Mount Bridge Ecclesia, it's been a wonderful tool at keeping us together. Over lockdown, it was Zoom that kept us together. And we've actually strengthened as Ecclesia. We've actually come through it really well. And I hope that you have at Middlesbrough, at Darlington, at Redcar. But Zoom, it's not as good as being together in person, is it? But find Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 22 to 25. Hebrews 10 and verses 22 to 25. Because it tells us there that we are not to give up meeting together. Not on Zoom, but face to face, brothers and sisters. In person. Hebrews 10 and verse 22. Through to 25. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, Christ's disciples had, throughout their history, suffered persecution, imprisonment, martyrdom, so we can only imagine the pressure that they were now under as they witnessed the events leading to the destruction of Jerusalem getting closer and closer. The book of Hebrews was written possibly around 65 AD. This was therefore a great challenge to the author of the Hebrews, writing to those who had suffered and were now threatened with even more suffering. The author feared that they would turn from the faith to avoid further persecution, and instructions were given to help counter this falling away, beginning in Hebrews 10 and verse 22. We're all told there to draw near to God, that we are to have pure hearts and to cling unswervingly to the faith. Thirdly, to not give up meeting together. That we are to spur one another on by way of exhortations. That we are to stir one another to love and to good works. That we are to encourage one another every single day. The Lord wants his children to draw near to him with an honest and sincere heart, right up to the very end. God's word never separates doctrine from deeds. And having a new relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the warning given to the early first century ecclesia also applies to you and to me. And true believers in Christ will have great love for other believers. purpose and will want to associate with them, breaking bread and drinking of wine together in remembrance of the Lord Jesus, towards believers a very special occasion for meeting together. And this meeting should always be cherished, never avoided, brothers and sisters. In fact, this passage tells us that as the return of Jesus closer, we should be meeting together more often. And there are plenty of classes that are about the basic teaching of the Bible. And although it can be basic, whatever our age and however long we have been baptized, there is always something new to learn. Bible class is perhaps more advanced, but there is still a lot to learn. And there are lots of other groups you can join too. And much of this is translated to help our Iranian brothers and sisters and friends as they learn English and as they learn about the scriptures. But once you are baptized, it is not enough to attend the breaking of bread occasionally and nothing more. There is so much more that we can all learn, that we can apply to our lives. Even the oldest, best educated follower in Christ can learn more which they can put into practice. Find Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 15 through to 16. Ephesians 4 verses 15 to 16. Ephesians 4 verse 15. We are told here, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We are told to grow in Jesus, aren't we? And to neglect coming together to a meeting is to give up on the encouragement and help of other followers of Christ. We gather to share our faith and to strengthen one another in the Lord. And as we get closer to the day, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we will face many spiritual struggles, brothers and sisters. There will be times of persecution. And as difficulties arise, we should make an even greater effort to be faithful in attendance. And those that are considering moving away from Darlington, Middlesbrough, Redcar, in my case, Huddersfield, perhaps for work, university, after you've got your right to remain, whatever the reason, I cannot emphasize enough to you, brothers and sisters, how important it is to make sure that you are moving to somewhere where there is a good, strong ecclesia to help you grow in our Lord Jesus. Before you move, make sure you can get to an ecclesia. Make sure that you are happy there, that they are a strong ecclesia in faith, that they will help you grow in Christ. If you are not happy with that ecclesia for whatever reason, perhaps our Heavenly Father is telling you that you should look elsewhere, maybe not even move to that area. Let us conclude, brothers and sisters, by looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 11 to 14. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. They hold an eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Gave thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable. Just pause there a second. Because Paul uses active, forceful words to describe the life of those who followed Christ. Look at those words, brothers and sisters. Flee, follow, fight, lay hold. Now some think that those who follow Christ are passive, sitting and waiting for God to act. On the contrary, we must have an active faith, training, working hard, sacrificing, doing what we know is right in the Lord. And for those those of us who want to develop the man or woman of God inside us, Paul gives us 7 very practical steps here, brothers and sisters, to follow. Flee from an ungodly way of life. Arguments, morals, the love of money. In other words, if it doesn't reflect Jesus, don't follow it. Don't love it. Don't imitate it. Don't have anything to do with it. The second, pursue righteousness. Make every effort to get yourself right with God. Ask for and accept his forgiveness and love, while at the same time forgiving others. Thirdly, pursue godliness. As much as it depends on you, live a life that reflects the life God wants you to live. Fourth point, pursue faith. Learn to trust in God completely. Start by obeying him in everything. Pray to him. Listen to him. Fifth, pursue love. Choose to love like Jesus loved. Start at home with your wife and children, parents, friends and enemies. Love one another as Jesus loved us. Sixth, pursue endurance. Don't give up on all of this. Keep going. Even if there seems to be no reward right now, carry on through it to show yourself a man or woman of God. Seventh point, pursue gentleness. A real follower of God will treat everyone with gentleness and respect. No violence, no harsh words, no bullying, but instead kindness. When do we keep it until, brothers and sisters? Well, we broke off partway through verse 14. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, let us pray that the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ is soon. In the meantime, we walk together in unity, as a family in Christ, as an ecclesia, brothers and sisters, breaking bread, drinking wine with one another in memory of our Lord Jesus Christ.